Yeah, thank you so much, Rossi, for leading us so well. My voice is actually hoarse. I've been singing so loudly. It's fantastic. Folk, just to give you a couple of wonderful resources, I spoke about those going through cancer, but you may be in connection with one of those kind of people, or maybe someone else is going through a hard time. There's a beautiful CD called He's Healing For Me, Day By Day Encouragement. 30 days of wonderful devotional scriptures, words of encouragement. I tell you what, this will be a huge blessing to somebody going through a hard time, somebody in hospital or someone who's really battling. Incredibly powerful scriptures and just teaching, one for every day of the month. And so I'm leaving, I've got 5 copies available. They're free of charge. And so maybe if you're someone who's going through that period or someone you know, please come and help yourself. I'll leave them here on the piano. But I can tell you right now, God has used this all over East London. It's a powerful resource to have. And so feel free, take one, pass it on if that's what you can benefit from. I'll leave those over there. And then a couple of months ago, I preached a series on the life of Joseph called The Grand Weaver. You may remember that. Well, we've put together a lovely package, a beautiful package like this one. It's called The Grand Weaver, The Life of Joseph, 5 sermons, and so a great resource to keep for yourself, to pass on to somebody else on your way to work or in your own quiet time, a lovely resource to have. They're available from Jeanette at the church office for just 20 rand, I think they are, so please help yourself to one of those. Right, if you've got your Bible with you, let's turn again in the book of Psalms to Psalm 130. Psalm 131, should I say. Psalm 131. Last week we looked at Psalm 127 and we discussed the difference between being a self-reliant person and being a God-reliant person. And if you missed that one, it is available. I checked on the website. It's available online so you can help yourself to that one. But this morning, Psalm 131, as we look at realigning ourselves and refocusing ourselves for the challenges of the third term. Psalm 131 last week was written by Solomon, this week by his father, David. So we're keeping it in the family. Here we go, Psalm 131. David writes these words. He said, Lord, my heart is not proud. Your Bible might use the word haughty, or it might use the new word proud, but same meaning. Lord, my heart is not proud, nor my eyes lofty. Neither do I concern myself with matters too great for me, nor with things too profound for me. Surely I've calmed and quieted my soul like a weaned child with his mother. Like a weaned child is my soul within me. O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forever. Father, thank you so much for your word. We believe your word is powerful. Lord, we believe your word is God-breathed, Holy Spirit-inspired. Lord, there's life in this word. And I pray that as we unpack it this morning together, you give us open hearts, receptive spirits to receive and to respond. For we ask it in Jesus' great name. Amen. Well, David begins there in verse 1 with the words, Lord, my heart is not proud. And like I say, your Bible might use the word haughty, but same meaning. And as we've heard over the years at Canubi Baptist Church, God, the Bible says, is opposed to those who are proud, but he gives grace to who? To those who are humble. And so as we face the challenges of this new term, I don't know about you, but in my life, I need lots of grace. And the prerequisite for receiving that grace, the Bible says, is having a humble heart. Humble before God, humble before man, and I become a recipient of incredible grace from the Lord. But then David unpacks 2 areas of potential pride for us to consider. And the first thing he says is, my eyes are not raised too high. Or your Bible might use the word lofty. My eyes are not too lofty. My eyes are not raised too high. In other words, David says pride can be expressed in striving for things I wasn't meant to have. Or in reaching for things I wasn't designed to do. Think about that. I've lifted my eyes too high, David says. I'm striving to have things I was never designed to have. And I'm striving to be things I was never designed to be. During my high school years, I went for the most part to a school in Johannesburg called Northcliffe High School. And I came back to Selborne College for my matric year, but for most of my high school, I was in Northcliffe. And at Northcliffe, we had a a guy in my class called Lionel Dukamara. Lionel Dukamara was from Greece, but Lionel Dukamara was the strangest looking character I've ever seen in my life. He had the shortest legs I've ever seen and the longest body I've ever seen, but Lionel Dukamara was determined to be a lock, a rugby lock forward. And so he came and he tried to jump high and tried to be a lock. And I tell you what, he hurt himself because Lionel Dukamara was not designed to be a lock. He was not designed to be a human. He was designed to be a penguin. He looked like a penguin. As he had lifted his eyes too high and he was aiming to be something he was never intended to be, until the coach came and said, "Lionel, I'm recommending you leave rugby, take up hockey, and become a hockey goalkeeper. They look like penguins. Have you seen them, the way they're dressed? They're penguin-looking people. Forgive me if you're one of them." But I tell you, Lionel Dukamara became a goalkeeper, and he succeeded. He suddenly found out that he'd reached too high. He'd aimed for something he was never meant to aim for, and he found his niche. He found the sweet spot for his life. Now, folk, David's not saying have no ambition. He's not saying settle for being an average Christian, an average person. Because Jesus said God has given you talents. We all know the parable of the talents. God has given to each one of us talents, gifts, and abilities. And he wants you to use those gifts, talents, and abilities, not to bury them, not to waste them, but to use them and to develop them and to live with a spirit of excellence. But what David's saying is, don't waste your time and don't waste your life pursuing things you were never designed to pursue, trying to become something you were never designed to be, to acquire things you were never designed to acquire. You've lifted your eyes too high, David says, and you're becoming proud. During the course of my preparation this week, I researched a man by the name of William Gladstone. Any of you heard of him before? I'm not surprised, because he lived in the 1900s. But he was the Prime Minister of England four times over. No one's ever achieved that before or since, been Prime Minister of Great Britain four times. He retired at the age of 84. Never think you're too old to be used by God, my friends. 84, Prime Minister of Great Britain. But William Gladstone said this. When he became Prime Minister of England, he decided to give up two things. Can you guess what they were? He decided to give up, number one, gambling. So Hemingway's was out of the equation for him. And he decided to give up playing the violin. And so he was interviewed. And he said this. He said, "Gambling and playing the violin might be good things, but they're not good for me. I want to do my best work, uncluttered, unhindered, to be the best Prime Minister that I can possibly be." And so think about your life. You may not be Prime Minister, but you've got something you're doing, something you're aiming to achieve. Is your life cluttered with things you aren't supposed to have, striving to be something you aren't supposed to be? Because God says in Ephesians 2, verse 10, that you were created in Christ Jesus for what? Anyone know? For good works. So when God thought about Gareth, when God designed Gareth's life, Gareth, there were things in his mind, good works, which he prepared for you to do. And you find fulfillment in life, you find satisfaction in life as you flow with God in the things he designed for you to do. Not lifting your eyes too high, proud, "I want to be this, I want to have that." No, saying, "Lord, you created me for a purpose. What is that purpose? Then I want to align my life in pursuing that purpose above all else." So I always, being a cricketer, I always think of a batsman. As a batsman, you don't want to be edging the ball. You don't want to be hitting the ball off the side of the bat. You want to be finding the sweet spot, that sweet spot. And that is what happens when you discover those good works for your life. You operate in the flow of God, in the purpose of God, humble. "Lord, I was made for this, but I wasn't made for that. Lord, I was designed to have that, but not to have this. I make peace with the good works you got for my life, and I invest my life in pursuing those things above everything else." And so it's good, my friends, to check your heart every now and again for overambition. So important. Are there areas in your life where, with a proud heart, you've raised the bar too high? Maybe for you it's business. You've set your heart on that position, that promotion. But I want to ask you, have you prayed about it? Have you asked God what He thinks about it? Because it could be it's a good thing, but not good for you. And I think of Andrew Selly, our friend in Cape Town. You see, he had an elder in his church. He had a fantastic job, but also serving God. And he suddenly got this opportunity to move to Johannesburg for double the money and all the perks that go with a high corporate position. That elder prayed about it, and he said, man, I've set my eyes too high. That position's good, but it's not good for me. I want to invest my life in Cape Town, in my church, where my kids are stable. And so he turned the offer down. So think about your corporate life, folk. Are you investing time in things that God has called you to do, or have you set the bar too high? What about financially? Don't overstretch yourself. Don't buy more, buy bigger, buy better, and suddenly you're in debt. You've got no money to give to the work of Jesus. And so David warns us. He says the first area of pride can be that you aim for things you weren't meant to have and you strive to be something you were never designed to be. But then he says these powerful words. He says, neither do I concern myself with things too great and too marvelous for me. Wow. In other words, David says, I don't meddle with God's job description. I don't concern myself with things too great and too marvelous for me. There's certain things that belong to God and to God alone, and I will never understand them. They belong to God's job description. So you can think in a work environment, if I try and do Gareth's work on top of my own work, man, that's burdensome. And so David says there's certain things that are too great, too marvelous, too profound for your finite mind to understand. Those belong in the realm of God. Don't meddle in God's job description. Folk, you know what the Bible says? God's ways. Listen to this. Isaiah says God's ways are higher than our ways. God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And so to think that as a finite speck of dust living on this planet, you will have perspective on everything that happens in life is foolish. There'll be certain things that happen in your life or happen in the world you have no understanding of. They confuse you. And so the humble person says, Lord, I choose to trust you, Lord, when I understand. When the sun's shining, Lord, I choose to trust you. But when the doctor says cancer, Lord, when things go bad in my life, even then I choose to trust you. I trust you, God, when I understand. I trust you, God, when I don't understand. Lord, I trust you when the sun is shining. Lord, I trust you when the storm clouds roll in. This is faith. And so David says, the humble person says, man, I don't concern myself with things too great and marvelous for me. They belong with God. They're mysterious to me. I rest in God. What do I rest in? I rest in the fact I know God is good. I rest in the fact I know God loves me. I rest in the fact that I know God is faithful. That's what I do know. What I don't know, I leave with God. And that's why I read the verse from 1 Corinthians 13, verse 12, where Paul says to Christian people, mind you, he says, as though we're looking at life through a stained glass window. I haven't got complete perspective. I can see a little bit, but not everything. And so, Lord, I choose in faith to trust you when I understand. And I choose in faith to trust you even when I don't understand. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus says two words seven times in seven verses. Any guesses for what they are? Don't worry. For Jesus to say something seven times in seven verses means it must be significant. Don't worry about your life. Don't worry about what you will wear. Don't worry about tomorrow, Jesus says. Don't worry, trust me. If I can take care of the sparrow in the tree, if I can take care of the flower in the field, can I not be trusted to take care of you, my blood-bought, covenant son and daughter? If you came a little bit early this morning, you would have seen me on my balcony feeding a beautiful big crane, crested crane. There were two of them. And they came for their birdseed and their millies. I've never seen a worried bird in my life. I've never seen a bird scratching its head. And Jesus says, as you face the complexities of life, and we know life is challenging, be humble. Say, Lord, I'm going to trust you on the good days and the bad days. When I understand and when I don't, I choose the road of faith. I choose to trust you. And then he goes on in verse 2 to give us the remedy to pride, the remedy to overambition. He says, surely I've calmed and quieted my soul. Like a weaned child with his mother, like a weaned child is my soul waiting within me. Beautiful words. 13 years ago, Paula, my wife and I became parents to Timothy. And what I remember about those first couple of months and the first year or so is there were certain times of the day where no matter how much I loved Timothy, he didn't want me, he wanted Paula. Because only Paula had what he wanted. I didn't have it. And so I remember Timothy kind of whining and getting frustrated and crawling and squirming. And he used to go like this with his mouth. And I looked in the, remember that, Paula? And I looked on the internet and I discovered that this thing has actually got a name. And it's called rooting. Did you know that? I didn't know it. So when a baby goes, it means it's rooting for something. And Timothy was rooting. He was frustrated, anxious, crying. But when he found what he wanted, he was, He was like satisfied. He was content. He had found the sweet spot. He was in the embrace of his mom, and he was absolutely peaceful. Now, David's giving you the picture of a weaned child. And he says, there's some of us who are rooting for things other than God. Position, power, money, sex, relationships, promotion, and we're rooting for things thinking they will satisfy us when they actually won't. We're rooting for all the wrong things instead of like a weaned child coming and finding your satisfaction, your contentment in the embrace of God. On his lap, in his embrace, loved, accepted, at peace, content, satisfied, not in created things, but in the arms of the one who gave me life. That's my sweet spot. That's the place that we need to live, in the embrace, in the affection of God. You see, rooting for other things, my friends, is like drinking salty water. The more you drink, the less satisfied you feel. It's like a mirage in the desert. You see something you think you want, something that looks so promising. Oh, that'll satisfy my thirst. And I get there and it's just an illusion. Oh, it wasn't what I was looking for. And I'm empty all over again. It's only when you're in the Father's embrace, loved, accepted, drinking from the milk of God, as it were, that you find peace and satisfaction. So I want to challenge you this morning. If you've been one of those rooting for this and rooting for that and rooting for the next thing, I want to say to you this morning, my friend, you're drinking from broken systems. What you're drinking from has no substance. It'll offer you no long-term satisfaction. There's only one this morning who offers you not just trickles, but rivers of living water. When you drink from that living water, it'll satisfy the deepest longings of your soul. You'll find the embrace of God, and the deepest longings of your heart will be met. That's why David writes in Psalm 16, verse 11. He says, in your presence, O God, there is fullness of joy. At your right hand, pleasures forevermore. Paul says in Philippians 4, verse 8, I count all things, I count everything a loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. Think about those powerful words. Rooting for this, rooting for that, wanting that, desiring that. No, Paul says, I found one thing above everything else to be desired. The knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. Well, David concludes Psalm 131 with these beautiful words. He says, O Israel, and you can put your name into that psalm. O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. I spent some time this week exploring how many times David uses the Hebrew word for hope in the Lord, which is translated yachal. How often does David use that word in the book of Psalms? And I discovered multiple times. For David, yachal, hope in the Lord, is incredibly powerful. It's the antidote to many of the things we consume ourselves with. And let me share a few of them with you this morning. Psalm 33, 22. David says, let your steadfast love, O Lord, be upon us, even as we hope in you. Isn't this amazing? When you hope in the Lord, when you stop rooting for other things, when you find your contentment and your satisfaction in God, the steadfast love of God, the Bible says, rests upon you. What a beautiful way to live your life. As you face this term, as you do what you need to do, as you find your hope and contentment in God, the steadfast love of God rests upon Rob's life. What a difference that makes to his life. So that God's love rests upon me, but it rests upon me as I hope in him. Yachal, hope in the Lord. The steadfast love of God then rests upon me. Psalm 130 verse 8. O Israel, you can put your name into that verse. Hope in the Lord. Why? He will redeem you from all your iniquity. What does redeem mean? Redeem means to buy back. Redeem means to save, to rescue. And the Bible says we have been redeemed. We've been bought back. Not with perishable things like silver and gold. We've been redeemed and bought back with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Beautiful words. Jesus died in our place and Jesus died for our sins. And folk, I tell you what, in Christ, the Bible says you are a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. In Christ, there's no longer condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. No more guilt, no more shame. A new identity. No longer a slave to bondage and fear and sin and death, but a son or a daughter of the Most High God, redeemed. And so this morning I say to you, hope in the Lord. Hope in the Lord, because as you hope in the Lord, His steadfast love rests upon you and He gives the assurance that you have been redeemed. Psalm 33:18. Wow, these are beautiful words. He says, behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who hope in His steadfast love. Isn't that beautiful? That nothing about your life is hidden from God. But His eye, the Bible says, is on you. As you live, as you work, as you play, as you go through things in life, the eye of Almighty God is upon you. No detail, no secret, nothing is hidden from His eyes. 2 Chronicles says this, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole world, seeking to show Himself mighty on behalf of those who set their hearts on Him. What a verse. God's eyes are upon you. God is looking for opportunities, even this week, to demonstrate His power, to show Himself mighty on your behalf as you choose to hope in Him. Wow. Where are you finding your peace, your contentment, your satisfaction this morning? Is your hope in God or are you rooting for other things? Because if you hope in the Lord, His steadfast love rests upon you. If you hope in the Lord, He gives you the assurance you have been redeemed. And if you hope in the Lord, the eyes of the Lord are watching every single moment, every single detail of your life. And finally, words that take my breath away. Psalm 147, verse 11. David writes, the Lord takes pleasure. Your Bible might use the word delights. The Lord delights. The Lord takes pleasure in those who hope in His steadfast love. It's almost incomprehensible to think that Almighty God would take pleasure, would delight in someone as sinful and weak and vulnerable as we are. Why would God delight in me, considering how much failure I've experienced, how much sin I've committed? But have you seen what David writes? He doesn't just delight in anybody. He delights in certain people. And those are people who've placed their hope in his steadfast love. Yes, Lord, I'm weak. Yes, Lord, I've sinned. Yes, I failed. But I lift up my eyes above my life and I choose to hope in you, Lord. You are my Redeemer. You are my Savior. You're the lover of my soul. Lord, I hope in your steadfast love. The Bible says when you do that, oh, you bring pleasure. You bring delight to the heart of God. No wonder John Piper, famous author and preacher, Baptist pastor, says these words. He says, God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in him. Beautiful words. God is most glorified in you when you're not rooting for this and for that. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And all the things of the earth that you were rooting for before, that seemed important to you, become strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Wow. God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in him. And so, folks, as we launch into the second half of 2017, maybe God has challenged you this morning regarding selfish ambition. Maybe you've lifted up your eyes too high. And God says to you this morning, humble yourself. I've got good works prepared for you to do, and you'll find your sweet spot. You'll find fulfillment as you pursue the things I designed you to be. And when you have the things I designed you to have, rest in me. Follow my plan for your life. Maybe God has challenged you to make peace with things in life you don't understand. Lord, there are some things way too big for me to comprehend. What I'm going through, what I've been through, what someone else is going through, what's happening in the world. Lord, I can't comprehend it, but I recognize that belongs to your job description. And Lord, this side of heaven, I decide today, this day, that when the sun shines, I'm going to trust you. When things are going well, I'm going to trust you. But Lord, when the storms of life arrive, when things happen I can't comprehend, Lord, I choose even in those days to believe you are good and you are kind and you are faithful. Maybe that's your challenge for this morning. And then maybe God's been challenging you to consider that you've been rooting as you've lived your life for all the wrong things. That. And God says to you this morning, it's only one person who can satisfy the deepest longings of your soul. There's only one who offers you rivers of living water where you'll drink and never be thirsty again. And it's not money, it's not power, it's not success. It is Jesus. He, my friends, not religion, Jesus Christ will satisfy the deepest longings of your soul, and you'll enter the embrace of God and find that sweet spot, that place of perfect love and acceptance. May God, as you face the challenges of this coming term, give you the grace, the strength, the courage, the motivation, not to be sidetracked by peripheral things, but to align your life, to align your future with the purposes of God, then you will find true fulfillment in life. Let us pray. I want to just give us, as I did in the first service, just a moment, maybe a minute or two, to consider those challenges to us this morning. And just in your own space, just allow God to show you things you need to see and to respond as he would have you respond this morning. For somebody, it might be that you've been one of those people who've lifted your eyes too high. You've been striving and reaching for things you were never designed to have, and striving to become something you were never designed to be. And so this morning, you just humble yourself before God and say, Lord, from this day on, I want to be the person you want me to be. You designed me to be, and that person alone. Maybe you've been someone who's always wrestled with the mysterious things in life, the questions you've got that nobody can answer. There's things about life and faith and the Bible and all kinds of things that you just wrestle with. You can't make sense of them all. And this morning God said to you, this side of heaven you won't have all the answers. There will be things that happen that you cannot understand. But I'm calling you this morning as a child trusts a parent. I'm calling you to trust me. To trust me when you understand, but more importantly, to trust me when you don't understand. Wow, that's a challenge for somebody this morning. And then maybe you're the person that was rooting for all the wrong things. You've been trying this and going there and trying this, thinking that will satisfy you. Drinking from broken water systems, and every time you do it, you feel emptier than you felt before. And this morning, God has said there's only one who offers rivers of living water. There's only one who can satisfy the deepest longings of your soul, and that is Jesus Christ. And so this morning, you bring your life into alignment with that and say, Lord, I submit to you this morning. I humble myself before you this morning. And I choose to find my contentment, my satisfaction, my peace, not in the things of the world, but in the embrace of my Heavenly Father. Thank you, Lord. Father, I commit my brothers and sisters to you. May this term and may the second half of this year be a year defined not by pursuing things that are empty and things that have no eternal value. But Lord, may we invest our lives this term in your embrace, in your presence, in doing things you designed us to do. And Lord, in so doing, bring you honor and bring you glory in every area of our lives. Thank you, Father. Go with us, we pray. In Jesus' great name. Amen. Amen. Folk, thank you so much for listening so well. I hope that encouraged you and motivated you. And may God take you this term from strength to strength to strength as you put Him first in every area. Amen.